Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to welcome all of our audience, our Christian Television Network audience, all around the Gulf Coast. And of course, we want to welcome our audience around the nation and the world. Here to encourage you, joining me in the studio is Pat Hamlin.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day, good day.
Now, what's my name again?
Pat Hamilton.
Thank you. That's a little better.
You want me to... See, he's special. He wanted me to enunciate and take my time.
That last name was kind of Hamilton.
Hamilton. See, he likes... Man, I tell you, they don't believe us when we say he has a limo, he has an entourage, and he wants to make sure that his name is... That's capital H-A. Oh, my goodness. We have so much to discuss today with you. We're excited about this program and being invited into your homes every day, Monday through Friday. We're on air on the Gulf Coast, and we just are excited to be with you. Of course, you can catch all the latest highlights and so much more at VFNTV.com. But in today's program, we're going to be talking about several things. Hopefully we'll get a chance to get to all of it, but we're going to be talking about the invasion of giant ants. Interesting, in the Gulf Coast, they've been jaw-sized ants, not giant ants. They have these jaws, and very interesting. They've been dormant for 50 years, and all of a sudden, they are appearing on the Gulf Coast. So we're going to be talking about that. Very interesting. Also, we're going to be talking about an Islamic state and a caliphate, and what would that mean for the West? You know, we've been talking a lot here in recent times regarding ISIS, the Islamic state for Iraq and Syria, and what they have been doing in Iraq. I mean, they're pretty much saying that, you know, it could be soon, very soon, that Iraq is completely lost. As of recent reports, half of it has been lost already, and they were approaching, not too long ago, the second largest water dam in Iraq, which is a water source. And so we don't know current reports if they have captured that or they've been held back, but we're going to be talking about what exactly does that mean, and we're going to share more about that, as well as some of the persecution that continues to persist in Syria and in Iraq in particular during this time. I mean, some horrific things. And as the church, we need to be aware.
Absolutely.
We need to be alert. We need to be able to empathize, as Greg's been sharing, you know, empathize with our fellow brother and sister that are facing tremendous trials. You know, it's one thing to go through a trial in America where maybe you're short this month in your resources, or maybe you're having some difficulties, but when you're fighting for your life, when people are aiming guns at you, when they're cutting people's hands off and they're doing horrific things like raping your daughter and your wife and things that are happening like that, listen, we've got to pray. We've got to pray for our brothers and sisters, and we're thankful for all those who have been praying. I'll tell you, we've been hearing just some fantastic reports, and it's great when we all get a chance to do this together, you know, to do this together. But, of course, we're also going to be talking about the World Cup and Clint Dempsey. He is the captain for the U.S. soccer team, and this guy has a tremendous testimony. I mean, you can't wait to share about it, but some of the things he's been able to do and accomplish, it's pretty neat. He gives God all the glory, but we're going to talk more about his story and what brought him to faith in Jesus Christ, because that's what it all boils down to. You can do a lot of things, and you can accomplish a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, and people only have two regrets, just two. They didn't wish, you know, that I won more trophies, you know, in my sport. They don't wish that they would have made more money, bought that bigger house, or went on that one more vacation. They wish that, A, they knew God because they're getting ready to see him, and B, they wish they would have done more for their family, and because they're getting ready to leave them. And the more for the family, I don't believe, is in more things and stuff, but it's the more of the precious thing called T-I-M-E, time, love, and being there with someone. And let me tell you that you want to live a life with no regrets. You want to live a life that's totally poured out for God And you can make that choice today. You know, there's nothing, you know, sad to see someone live their whole life for themselves and then come to the end of it and realize, what did it profit me? Mm-hmm. What did I gain out of all this? And life is but a vapor. You know, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And it seems to me like time is passing by every day faster.
And faster.
And faster. It's like, my goodness, man, where did the time go? Like, right. It used to be like a month was like forever. And now it's like, oh, that week, I mean, that month of, you know, June is gone. It's like, are we halfway through the year already? Mm-hmm. And so time is passing by. And you just, that's just it. You don't want time to pass you by. You want to be in the moment and you want to be all in for God. And so we want to encourage you talking more about that. But I want to go directly to what's happening in Iraq and this Islamic caliphate. And we've been sharing about this for quite a while on VFN Radio, VFN TV, about, you know, radical Islam and their agenda for an Islamic state and instituting Sharia law. And we've noticed and we've shared on VFN TV the consequences of just Sharia being introduced in 100 courts in Great Britain. Where Great Britain now is saying that they need to teach British values in their school system because of the Sharia law. That's, you know, Muslims and radical Muslims are doing in that nation. They're forcing a lot of the children out. And we'll make sure this is a related segment for you because it goes into more detail. Mm-hmm. But I want you to listen to a report or watch a report from CBN as they interview an author of a new book called Crucified Again. And he shares some insight into ISIS and what their organization means even to the West. Watch this.
Raymond Ibrahim joins us now. He's the author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Great to have you back on the broadcast.
Hi, George.
ISIS, who are they? What are their ultimate goals? Help our viewers understand what's going on with this group.
Their ultimate goal is the ultimate goal of all the Islamic radical jihadists from Al-Qaeda to even the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the resurrection of a caliphate and the enforcement of Islamic Sharia law.
Now, let me talk to you about this, because we have on CBN News and across our platforms, we have been talking about this for a number of years. And it was, in some ways, like a pipe dream. I mean, this is impossible to resurrect the Ottoman Empire, the caliphate. You know, but now it seems more like a reality. They've got half of Iraq, a good swath of Syria.
Right.
Is it possible today?
It is possible. It'll take time.
Yeah.
You know, the Taliban in Afghanistan had the same aspirations, and other organizations, wherever there's a vacuum, an Islamist or jihadist go in, that's the new emirate, the Islamic emirate, which they hope will eventually grow and grow and grow. So, yes, it is a realistic possibility, but it will take time.
And for them, they have a long view of history, obviously.
Not like us.
Right. And explain to us, what is a caliphate?
The caliphate is... historically, after the Islamic prophet Muhammad died, it became the government, the Islamic polity, which, of course, is the fundamental reason why Islam is different than the West, because in the caliphate, religion and state are one and the same. Mm-hmm. Islamic law is what legitimizes the rule of an Islamic ruler. And the caliphate's primary business is to expand. To expand territory and bring infidels under its authority. And that's what it did historically.
And when you look at what's taking place today in Mosul, in northern Iraq, when they came into town, just this week we've been seeing pictures of ISIS soldiers on the streets of Mosul handing out Quran to folks who are driving on the streets. Yeah. Can you give our viewers an understanding of what does Sharia law look today for the residents of Mosul and all these different cities that they have captured?
Well, I'll give you the best example is the Pact of Omar, or the Conditions of Omar, which is an old Islamic teaching, which is what justifies, as you may know it, dhimmitude, which is basically keeping Christians and non-Muslims suppressed. And so ISIS is now in these regions forcing Christians to live according to this 14-century-old pact, in which it includes things like do not build churches, you can't renovate churches, you have to wait until they crumble, you can't show your crosses, you can't talk about your religion.
You have to pay a tax.
You have to pay a tribute, jizya, monetary tax, and you're basically a third-class citizen. And now they are enforcing this, and it's we're reliving history of 1400 years.
Can we talk about the influence of foreign jihadis? There is a big concern amongst Western intelligence agencies from Great Britain to Germany, France, the United States, that there are a huge number of foreign foreign fighters on the battlefield in Iraq and Syria, and the concern is that these folks will come back to the Western world, come back to the United States. Are you concerned about this?
I am, and the thing is, we have absolutely perfect precedent. If you go back to Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, most of those fighters, they were not even Afghani. They were Arabs coming from all around the world because this is the jihad theater. We're going to go, we're going to conquer, we're going to build up a new emirate. And we saw how that ended up with 9/11. And so in Syria, it's the same thing. You got Saudis, you have Westerners, you have Australians, you have Chechens, and they're all there. And again, you know, that sheds light on the nature of this so-called rebellion. Mm-hmm. This isn't Syrians fighting for freedom. This is jihadis out to conquer land for themselves.
And for them, the more diverse the group is, the more appealing it becomes to young, impressionable Muslims out there around the world.
And meanwhile, the average Syrian, who supposedly this is in their name, is ostracized, sidelined, and now you can understand why so many of them are supportive of Assad, who is the better alternative.
What should the United States, I mean, the U.S., the White House is in such a predicament because on one hand, they supported elements of ISIS in Syria against the Assad regime. Now we have this chaos in Iraq, the potential fall of the al-Maliki government. Mm-hmm. What should the United States do? Can it do anything, or should it just sit back and watch them slaughter each other?
Well, it should at least sit back and reassess, because up until now, in my opinion, all the groups that the United States has been supporting have not been the groups that we should be, from the Muslim Brotherhood, from the so-called rebels in Syria, and all these, and the Al-Qaeda-linked guys who were in Libya, who ousted Muammar Gaddafi. So we need to at least take a break back and really reassess the situation and try to figure out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, and actually, why don't we support the good guys?
And unfortunately, the good guys, in many cases, the Christians, they are caught in the crossfire, aren't they?
Always. They're in the crossfire. They're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. They're infidels, they're minorities, they're outnumbered, they're ostracized, they have no weapons, and so they're the easiest and quickest targets.
And obviously the big concern, last few seconds, the Christians in Mosul and the biblical cities of Nineveh and so forth, they're going to Kurdistan, they're trying to get out of the region,
Ironically, in Iraq, after the war, and more than half of the Iraqi indigenous Christian population fled, many of them to Syria. Now, they and the Syrian Christians are trying to flee out of Syria because the same pattern has come to them, and they're running out of places to go.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Raymond, as always, thank you so much. The book, again, is called Crucified, again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. As always, sir, thank you for being
on the
broadcast.
Thank you, George.
Awesome. Amazing, amazing. You're just hearing the interview between George Thomas and Raymond Ibrahim, author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, and you're getting an insight into ISIS, the Islamic State for Iraq and Syria, and what they are doing and what they plan to do. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about this more and see what is happening across the Middle East and what we can do as believers to stand in the gap. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Well, I'm only 15, and I've been listening to your show, and I was curious, why in the world do liberal Democrats think that this nation was not founded under God, which it clearly says so in the Pledge of Allegiance and through our Constitution? Where do they find that we were supposed to be separating church and state?
They draw this line of church-state separation. They basically take the position that no government acknowledgement of religion or the role of religion in American public life is appropriate. They think it should be absolutely inappropriate, but they take this view of strict state separation of church and state, which is just not supported in the Constitution. There is a role of government acknowledgement of the religious heritage of America.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Before the break, we were talking about, and actually watching the interview between George Thomas from CBN and Ibrahim, as he was discussing what is happening in Iraq, what is happening in Syria, and potentially what could be happening here in the U.S. And there were some really interesting things that he was talking about as far as the jihadists and what their goal is. It's always been the same, which is Islamic caliphate, total control and expansion, and bringing everyone else into their servitude. You know, there's only three options, you know, convert, submit,
or die,
or off with your head. Yeah, you know, there's only three options. And so it was really interesting, you know, the Islamic caliphate, that religion expands through territory, by conquering territory, moving into territory, and then they bring in Sharia law, which is a combination of government and religion to one state. Well, Christianity is different in so many ways, but in particular, the kingdom of God doesn't expand necessarily by physical territory, but it expands when it enters into the heart of another person, because the king takes residence in their hearts. And, you know, you're looking at this type of stuff and you're thinking, my goodness, you know, this is serious business. And what they're doing in, they're coming in to oppress anyone that's not a Muslim. And one of the things they were talking about is the oppression of Christians by the way of a jizya. It's a tax. And we've shared this before on VFN TV, but it's a tax for all non-Muslims that they have to pay. And we're going to talk about what has happened in Iraq because a Christian was not able to pay this jizya. Now, we're going to talk about this here in a minute, but this is crazy. This is horrific. You see how just evil is when you start looking at what people are doing to other human beings. Listen, just it doesn't make sense because it's a plan of the enemy. It's a strategy. You can't make sense of Satan. Just can't make sense of it. But when you're doing horrific things and torturing people and killing them, it just never, ever ends well. And to think that, you know, the question was, you know, will it come back to the U.S.? Well, they're recruiting jihadists from the United States. There's a report saying that there are those that are going to fight in this war from the U.S., and then the FBI and the police departments are actually keeping an eye on them for when they come back in return, because they feel like they're major threats to the U.S. security. And so it's important for us to continue to pray, to be alert and watch. But just recently, what happened in Iraq is horrific. A father committed suicide. I'm going to tell you why he committed suicide. This is in Iraq, and this proves the point of what ISIS is doing. This is the Christian Post reporting this. But a father had to watch. They had to watch his wife and his daughter get brutally raped by members of the militant group ISIS. Why? Because they couldn't pay them the poll tax, which is the jizya. They couldn't pay him. This happened in Mosul, in Iraq, and the man wound up killing himself because he just couldn't bear under that type of grief and that type of just insanity of what happened. Well, so you're talking about a religion that says, you know, you're going to cut off the hand of somebody.
Right.
Because they broke a law, quote unquote, right? They would say they sinned. But I'm interested to know, would they cut their own hand off if they caught themselves in their breaking of the law or quote unquote sin? Would they cut their own hand off? You know, and Jesus said figuratively, listen, take your own eye out, take, you know, cut off anything that would hinder you from coming into heaven. And it's like, you know, it's not about attacking somebody else, but it's about looking inwardly. But it's all twisted, just completely all twisted. And so what we can do as a believer, what you can do as a Christian, is one, stay informed. That's why we're trying to bring you a biblical perspective as to what is happening in the Middle East. Why? So you can, one, be informed, but secondly, so that you can get involved and pray. You know, prayer is our number one asset. It's our number one tool that we can use to communicate with God, to advance God's will upon the earth, and to pray for the safety of the Christians that now are being pushed out everywhere.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one of the things that just really stands out is in that they said over half of the Christian population in the area had to flee because that's one of their major focuses is anyone that's Christian or non-Muslim is to submit underneath that leadership. And it's just like, when you look at that, it's just like you think about the focus of prayer in that area and those in that region and how much they're seeking the Lord and seeking God's direction and seeking God's protection. And it's just here in the West, or if you're not encountering that, you might not result to prayer so quickly. And it's just like, we have to intercede for them. We have to understand. It's just like, imagine if we had family on a vacation and they're going through a difficulty and it's like, all of a sudden we're connected. And it's just like, that's Jesus. That's the body of Christ. And that just, we've got to heighten our attention and heighten our priorities to intercede for them because they're going through those difficulties.
Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done unto me. And so when we're standing in the gap like that in prayer, because prayer requires time, it requires effort, it requires that you, you know, deny yourself of whatever you could be doing because you're praying with intentionality, you're praying with purpose, and you're praying in faith, you know, for their safety. And so we want to encourage you to do that. But you're looking at a religion that says it's okay to you know cut off and maim someone. If you're not a Muslim, you're going to be in servitude. You're going to either you know off with your head or you're going to convert. I mean, there's only really only three options. And it's the same type of thing that happened there with Miriam Ibrahim in Sudan. You know that she has been released. But prior to that, she was rearrested. And the reason she was rearrested, they said, because she falsified documents as she was trying to leave. You know what the falsification of her document was? She put her Christian name as opposed to the Muslim name that she was given at birth.
Right.
And that was considered falsifying documents.
Right.
And it's like, if you're born in, you're in. Well, no. In Christianity, you have a choice. You have a choice to serve God. You have a choice to give your heart to Jesus and to serve him out of your love and out of dedication. And I'm encouraged by all the many Muslims that have converted and have come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There has been an amazing wave of that occurring, and it's still happening, and the church is getting involved. One of the things they discussed was that wherever they see a vacuum, the jihadists move on in, and they take advantage of that vacuum. Well, it's time for us as the church to fill that vacuum. It's time for us to send missionaries who are willing to go where no man has been before and go and say, listen, I'm going to give my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my life for, you know, the Iraqis. I'm going to give my life for people to come to know Jesus. Oh, that's a little radical. I'm not sure. Well, think about what happened to the Moravians. Two young men who were caught up in God in a prayer meeting. God spoke to them, and they decided to sell themselves as slaves because the man who owned slaves, there was 100 slaves on this island, he said no man would ever preach the gospel to them, and this was a known thing. So they left everything, left their families, got onto a boat, never to return again, for the opportunity, not for the guarantee that right. any slave would they would have the chance to preach them, hear to them, or what would happen to them if they were caught preaching to them mm-hmm. the good news. And they left everything behind, entrusted their families to the rest of the brothers and the sisters of God in that community. And as the story goes, as they're leaving and you can, you know, they're now everyone's crying and just you're barely seeing them and the ship is leaving, one of them stands up and raises his hand and says, "May the Lamb who was crucified receive the reward of his suffering." Mm. May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And it's time for that to rise up again in our hearts. Wow. It's time for us to evaluate, what are we living for? You know, life is just a momentary vapor, and we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're going to get rewards, those who have, you know, lived their lives in such a way. And what a beautiful reward to be able to say, mm-hmm. I left it all on the field. I left it all here, and I gave myself away that others may come to know Jesus. Maybe it's you. Maybe you've been hearing this, hearing us on VFN TV, and maybe you're feeling a call to the Middle East. Maybe you're feeling a call to reach Muslims in you know in these different affected areas. Well, listen, obey God. You'll never, never, ever regret obeying God. You only have a small window of opportunity to do a great work for Him. Why not it be you? More when we come right back for this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse, and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible, under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV. By going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
If you're tired of religion, think about this. If you're tired of all these mechanisms and supporting these ziggurats and these all these things going on, if you're ready to get into the kingdom, you know, find someone who's hearing from God. Find a gathering that's hearing from God. Find an apostolic center. Find one of those hubs. Maybe the VFN Dream Center's for you. You know, we're located on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida, a very significant things that have happened since God told us to establish it here. But they're all around the place. North Carolina, you have Morning Star, you have Church of His Presence in Alabama with Pastor John Kilpatrick. Mm-hmm. You have IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle. You have Chuck Pierce, Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He got the good one. Right? No, right? He got Texas, man. And so it's amazing what, and so God is doing this all over the place, but you want to get into that place.
There is a level of grace about to be poured out that is striking. It's awesome. It's going to come to sinners and awaken them when they're not looking. Are you hearing me? They're not going to be looking. It's going to get prodigals when the prodigals don't even know they want to go home. They're going to wake up one day and decide, I'm ready to go home. Sinners who don't believe are going to wake up and say, I believe. Atheists are going to have some light turned on inside of them. God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And I don't know if you guys, if you have been watching the World Cup, I have not had any time.
No, I don't
to,
have time to.
Yeah,
do
have
that
time
kind of
to catch up. Chris, on the other hand. Chris,
oh, yeah, he's got plenty of time.
He has informed us and is keeping us up to date with how the U.S. is doing and some
amidst
of the other.
All those innings of baseball. No time.
I don't know.
Yeah, how do
but,
you fit that in between your baseball and stuff?
Well, I haven't had that much time to watch baseball, actually. I have not watched a game in quite a long time.
A full game?
No, not a game at all. Not anything. Yes. It's a whole lot more interesting than hockey. But anyway.
It's not hockey season right
World
now.
Cup. World Cup in Brazil. I mean, my understanding is that this thing lasts for over a month, and this has been just amazing, some of the things that have happened and what's going on. And every time you have the Olympics or the World Cup or games of that nature, you find out more about the athletes and more about their lives and their own personal stories. And we want to share with you about Clint Dempsey. He is the United States captain of the team. And this guy's a star, man. He is one really good soccer player, and he's getting a whole lot of attention.
Wow!
And the U.S. is playing really good this year. They're playing really, really good. But it, oftentimes, you know, there's always a story behind the story. You know, a lot of times people see you in a different light. They see what happens to you in your public life or in your work or what's happening to you in your realm, if you will. Mm-hmm. But they don't know the story behind the story. Mm-hmm. And it's always the story behind the story that really helps you appreciate what you're now experiencing and seeing. And Clint Dempsey has a story. He's born in Texas and played soccer when he was young. And he actually, you know, grew up having a relationship with the Lord, you know, mm-hmm. as a young child, and, you know, went up and played professional on many levels. I mean, the guy is just really phenomenal. We can list more of his stats for you, but, I mean, he has a bunch of accolades. Really, really good guy. In fact, I think he's one of the first players to score a goal in the first 26 seconds or something like that of a game. And I mean, just here in the World Cup, just doing just amazing things. Yeah. I mean, the score is always low, like 2-0. You score a goal is like.
That's a miracle.
They run around for I don't know how long. They score one goal. I mean, that's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. That's a sport that I don't have the energy to do. Baseball is more my style. Just kind of, you know, ready for it.
That's even more boring.
And, you know,
Spinning around in peanuts.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Back to the World Cup. Clint Dempsey, he had something that happened in his life that really cautioned him to question God. And what happened was that his 12-year-old, when he was 12, his sister, Jennifer, had died of a brain aneurysm.
Oh, wow.
And it was an event that changed his life forever. Obviously, he lost his sister, but it caused him to question and to struggle with God and how this could happen and all the things you could imagine a young 12-year-old boy would face when he loses a sibling. I mean, it's a really tragic event when you lose anybody. And so, you know, he grew up with some distance, some time away from God. And, you know, the sports spectrum continues to report and share that it wasn't until later on in his life when he was in college that he wasn't actively pursuing God or anything like that. But there was a Bible study going on a college campus and someone invited him there. And so he said that he knew about God, but he didn't know God. Mm. And it's like many people today. We've shared a segment previously on VFN TV about, you know, the destiny of the sons and daughters of God to know him and to make him known. And he is one that knew of God and was familiar with God, but he didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And what he found out is that through this Bible study, he says, in college, I joined a team, a Bible study. And he says, God's word brought me peace and a desire for a relationship with him.
Wow.
He says, I found out that questioning him and searching for answers through the scripture helped me grow and gave me direction. He said, now my faith in Christ is what gives me confidence for the future. I know that through both good times and bad, he is faithful and he'll watch over me. Mm. And it's so important. I mean, it was through the scriptures. It was through getting in and asking the questions. So many times, you know, people are like, well, don't ask. No, ask. God's not afraid of your questions. Trust me. He's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of you trying to outfigure him. That begins an opportunity for you to begin to start asking of the Lord and going on that journey. Mm-hmm. And God will reveal himself to you. And so he goes on another point in his life. And just how important, because you just never know where your life is going to end up. There was another incident in his life where two of his friends invited him to go to a concert. And he didn't have any money, so he wasn't able to go. You know, good. I'm glad someone didn't come in and say, oh, poor thing, you don't have any money. Let me give you some money for the, you know, it's okay for people not to go to things and do mm-hmm. things. And in this particular case, it was really good that he didn't go because his friends were involved in a fatal car accident on that way to the concert.
Oh, wow.
One died and one was injured that he never played soccer again. He's in a wheelchair, wheelchair bound. And his life could have been over
right.
had he been in that car.
Wow.
And so it just goes to show you that, listen, God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You know, the enemy will try to throw so many things at your way.
Mm-hmm.
But he found God in the Word. And maybe you've experienced something in your life where you've questioned God. Maybe something's happened in as a child. Maybe you suffered some sort of, you know, hurt, even as an adult. And you've come to a place where you just don't know. You don't have any answers. Well, rest assured, you can be like Clint. And you can begin to ask God the questions. You can begin to search in the right place, which is the scriptures. And that's so important. It's just how God's divine providence in his mm-hmm. life, he was led to the scriptures and he found God in the Word of God. We want to encourage you mm-hmm. that you can find God in his Word.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can find God in his Word. Believe me, spend time with him. Begin to ask those questions. Begin to pray. I remember sharing about the most powerful prayer that anyone could ever pray. Guaranteed answer. Guaranteed answer. Right? God, reveal yourself to me. God, reveal yourself to me. Believe me, God wants to answer that prayer.
Or ask for patience.
Yeah.
Be careful what you want.
Well, God will reveal himself to you
mm-hmm.
because that's his desire. He wants you to know him. Mm-hmm. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And I can remember praying that prayer as a young man many years ago. God, I just want to know you. I want, like, the grass is green and the sky is blue.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know like I need to know like I need to know. And I always say, be careful of what you ask God, because he might just go ahead and do it. It changed my life forever, and he'll change your life forever. God's not afraid of tough questions and real talk. You know, oftentimes you hear people say, oh, I don't know if I can ask that question. Or listen, God knows your hearts and your thought anyway. You can begin to start opening that dialogue and asking him.
And that's so encouraging. I mean, just hearing his story and hearing the transition of events, that just stirs me, because you think about so many of those testimonies that others have shared, and it reminds me how he's saying in the scripture, that one scripture that has always ministered to me is what he says in Acts 17. It's like, God has set our lives, the times, the places that we should live, and he allows things to happen in our lives for one hope, one desire, is God wants to know. It's just like, will we reach out to him? But the awesome thing is that when we do, just like you're saying, John, when we do reach out to him, we find out that he was right there all along.
Yeah.
And it's in those hardships when we realize, okay, I got to look up. You know, we've said it before. I have no more options in my tool bag. All I have left is God. I'm going to look up. And it's just like, God was there with just open arms, full of love, willing to receive us. And it's just like, sometimes it takes those moments of hardship, but it's like, those are the best moments, because it causes us to realize that everything we needed and wanted in life was always found in God.
Yeah.
And it's just like, God allows these things to happen for us to grow closer to him. And it's such a beautiful story.
It really is, because this is a man now who's come to faith in Jesus Christ. He's living now for the glory of God. And he understands that God is the one that holds his life in his hand. Many things that happen, we just don't understand. And we may never understand until we are with the Lord. I mean, and then God will reveal and make known all things. But his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Who is man that we could actually figure God out or understand the deeper meanings to why things happen? But, you know, I often say that, you know, God's writing a story. God's writing a story, and you're allowed to be a part of it. And to the dimension that we participate with God in the role that he has for us to play, you know, and when we cooperate with his plans and with his script, then things always seem to kind of work out well. And so, you know, we talked about how David in his life, he went through a tremendous trial, you know, how when it seemingly seems like everything is going great in his life and he's just getting right back, you know, to where he's stable and he's, you know, he's going somewhere and he's come back from major just nothingness.
Yeah.
To losing everything at Ziklag, and you say, how did this happen? How did I come to this place of destruction? My family is kidnapped. Everything is burned. How did this happen? Not knowing that not only God was going to restore all of that to him, but that 6 days later he was going to become crowned king.
Mm-hmm.
He had no idea the timeline of God or what God's plans or intentions are.
Yeah, and God's got a purpose for those hardships. I think about, you know, how things can so quickly become full circle. And a lot of times when we're going through those seasons of hardship, we look at just that one moment. But what we lose sight of is it's like there's an anointing on us in those hardships that we have empathy, we have understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of a sudden we look at those moments when we encounter other people
yeah.
that are walking through the exact same situation. And then all of a sudden you connect the dots and you're like, oh my goodness, God, I'm so grateful that I went through what they're now going through because I'm able to be there for them
mm-hmm.
when I was crying out to you. It's just like, I understand what they're going through.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's like God will take us through those moments so that we can minister to others and lead them to God in their hardships. And it's not about us in those hardships, but it's about for those that God's going to use us to minister to when they're going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful because it really allows us to walk in a place of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to have compassion for other people.
Yeah.
You know, we try to do everything in our society to run away from hurt, to run away from pain. But think about it, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
Life. Jesus told us that in this life you will have troubles. But cheer up because I've overcome the world. And if you're not careful, you're going to try to live a life that cushions yourself from experiencing any kind of pain, any kind of discomfort, anything that will try to, you know, don't like how that feels because it's going to be a bad thing. Uh-huh. Listen, it could be the best thing that ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. Don't despise what's happening in your life. Find God in the midst of it. No matter what you're going through, like Clint, he was able to find God in the scriptures. And now God has just used him and blessed him and has given him a platform where he's preaching the gospel through a sport literally all around the world at the World Cup. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're questioning God. Go after God. Mm. Begin to talk to God. Begin to pray. That's all prayer is talking to God and ask him. Ask him the questions and ask him to reveal himself to you. And he will. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. I go to the restroom, but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Yeah, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes and there's no difference between men and women and we're all all the stuff was going on. And I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? It was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I was just couldn't believe it. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this lady's voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you can't, you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room, and it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back, because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the Braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just tried to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell you. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before the break, we're just talking about Clint Dempsey, soccer star for the U.S. team in the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Just phenomenal story, but how he found God in the Word of God. And we want to encourage you. Listen, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org and select your plan. Doesn't cost you a thing, and we'll get that right to you. But it's a way how you can develop a relationship with God on a daily basis and begin to start journaling what God says to you. Let me tell you, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And you can find them just like Clint found them in his word, which is his love letter to you. So begin your journey and enjoy. And let us know all about it, because we love to hear when people come to God every Amen. Day. I mean, it's just wonderful things, wonderful testimonies. In fact, I want to share, I don't know if we shared this before, but we want to share what's happening in the Gulf Coast. Apparently, there's an invasion, a chomping invasion that has occurred, and it's Fox News is reporting, and really every major news source is reporting about this, but it's called Alien Trap Jaw. It's these ants that are spreading on the Gulf Coast. They're calling it an aggressive type of ant. So you got to see the jaws of this thing. It's pretty huge.
My goodness, look at the size of that thing.
Man, it's so
big. That
does
not look friendly.
No. That's not friendly at all. It says that with their jaw, they're able to propel themselves in the air. So they were flying ants, but they're not flying ants. They propel themselves.
Is that actual? How big are these things?
I don't have a size for you. I don't have any dimensions for you, but I can tell you that.
Oh wow! Look at that one.
There's an invasion that's coming, and they're actually here. And what they're reporting is that it's just some special species that's come from South America, and it's been spreading, in particular in the Gulf Coast, all the way to Pensacola, Florida. Fox News is reporting. Yeah, pay attention.
Wow.
They say that these species of these ants have been around for a long time. They think that they can have been hiding since 1956.
Wow.
Where were they hiding?
They were hiding since 1956, and they've just emerged, if you will, and it's all the way from New Orleans, Louisiana, all the way to Pensacola. And they're doing this research on them, but just makes me think about, my goodness, what else do we not know about? I mean, these things have their bite. One article says that they don't bother you, they don't bite you unless you mess with them. They're like, hello, isn't that all ants? I mean, once you start messing with ants, you know, then they start biting you.
Yeah, they're not pretty particular who they munch on.
Yeah, believe me. And by the size of that jaw, I don't want to be bit by any of those. But we talked about on a previous segment. And we'll make sure that this is related for you. about different things that are happening right now. And we ask the question, does God allow pestilence, drought, and plagues to come against a nation? And many times people, oh, well, I don't know about that. And, you know, it's happening. Look, it's 50 years this ant was dormant. All of a sudden, it's like, there it is. But it's not just an ant. In recent times, we talked about how locusts were swarming the Middle East, where they had to pull over and they couldn't even drive. It was literally hitting their windshield.
Wow.
These big flying locusts. And you talk about what's happening, the drought and the earthquake and the pestilence, and how something could be hidden for 50 years. 50.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden emerge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember we shared at one time about a caterpillar that came in someone's luggage, some sort of a snail. There was a snail that came in someone's luggage that traveled overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought it down to South Florida, the snail got out and started eating the stucco. And then it started just growing
growing. That's right. We talked about
that. Eating up houses. Mm-hmm. Eating up houses. And we're talking about all these, you know, folks that are coming now over the border, and it's children that are coming over the border, and it's important that, you know, any diseases or things that they're bringing over, that we need to be able to address these issues, because
you start to look at everything and it's just like, okay, is this that random, or it's just over and over and just these, never seen that before. Yeah. And it's like, God's trying to talk to you.
Yeah, how many more times are we going to say, never seen that before, or that strange occurrence, or
exactly.
Or the ground opening up. We've shared about that several times.
Mm-hmm.
Sinkholes just happen to just open up underneath people exactly, or underneath their beds. And one person went absolutely missing, fell all the way into the
sinkhole.
Couldn't
recover his body.
Couldn't recover him. And so you look at what's happening, it's just time to take special attention and to say, listen, are these a sign of the times? And does God bring, is this part of a judgment? When you look at Joel chapter 2, and we often quote that times of refreshing may come, that your sons will, daughters will prophesy, they'll have dreams, visions. But Joel chapter 1 talks about great locusts, an army of locusts that ate everything, everything. And when one locust army went, then another series of army of locusts came. When they ate everything, a third phase came and they devoured everything. And so, you know, we take so many things for granted and we act like life is just goes on, but life is really so fragile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a chance to talk to some folks the other day, and they were telling me about food and homegrown and the difference between organic vegetables. I was getting an education there, about all this type of stuff. And, you know, it's only 2% of the nation actually produces food for the other 98%. If we weren't able to get food across because of trucks or what, I mean, some people, I mean, I know you can grow anything, but I mean, well, how would Stevie? Well, I heard about the garden.
Yeah, well, that was an experience.
But listen, what is Steve going to do? I mean, I've talked to your roommate. He has told me how you cook. I mean, what are you going to do?
He doesn't cook.
The simple life.
Exactly.
Man.
He's a bowl of cereal.
A
every day.
Bowl of cereal and microwave that egg.
You're out of cereal, bro.
I'm very simple. I don't need a lot of pizzazz. But that just goes to show, I mean, you think about it, and it's just like how much the existence of this world, just God holds everything together. Yeah. And it's just like you think about, you know, these giant ants have been in hiding for the last 50 years, and it's the mercies of God. But all of a sudden, it's just like, I mean, when you look in the Old Testament, it talks about plague after plague after plague in Egypt, and it's just like God allowed these things to happen. And it's just like we're seeing the same things. And it's like when you look at things from, you know, a biblical point of view, it really changes things. It's just like, okay, what have we done that would bring these things upon? And it's just like turning our attention back to God, and it's just like there's a purpose for this.
Yeah. It really is. And, you know, you just have to be one that looks at the sign of the times and just says, hey, could this possibly be one of the things in a list of a series of things? Sure, it's just an ant, but what is it going to be tomorrow? Or what else is dormant that will automatically come out? This is totally undetected, and this seems to be really a harmless thing. They're not saying it's going to hurt anyone, but it just gets you to think about, man, you know, what is happening in the world all around us? And in another program, we're going to be talking about just that, how we can be living in the world today and just we can take for granted everything that's happening, life in general, and we don't give thought to what, you know, that, listen, it's fragile. Mm-hmm. It's all God here. Mm-hmm. You know, if we leave God, if God takes his hand off of our nation, off of us, what is going to be left? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be able to be ones that cry out to God and have a heart towards him and have our lives live in a way that glorifies him and welcomes him here. And so we're going to be talking more about that in another program. We're going to be talking about honor and how you can begin to see how the benefits of dishonor and honor and how it opens the door to everything or closes doors in your life as well. We want to encourage you to continue to support our sponsors. They help make VFN TV possible and here for you. You know, one such sponsor is Ears to Hear. We definitely want you to encourage to go visit them. If you have problems yourself hearing, or maybe you have a loved one who's challenged in the ability to hear, they will give them an awesome screening. They will check them out. And man, you should see the hearing aids that they have. Mm. They're invisible. They go completely in your ear. Mm-hmm. And with a little like fish line, that's all it looks like. You can barely see it.
Like a little antenna.
A little antenna, and you're good to go. The professional staff at Ears to Your Hearing Center, they truly care about you, and they want to make sure that you enjoy the gift of hearing. Check them out today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't he know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And just goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes, oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship, say, listen, we need to start being family. Mm-hmm. And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart, so you know what, I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out, vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you. Mm-hmm. because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.